Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now we come back to the story of Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. And we want to ask parents in the audience, how have you talked to your kids about these incidents? The phones are open, especially for parents, parents of any race. We know that this conversation is happening in all sorts of families. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How have you been talking with your kids about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman story? Have you made it a lesson about race, fear, masculinity, justice? Have you given, if you're a black parent or, dark-skinned Hispanic parent or with dark-skinned kids, has it been a cautionary tale that comes with specific instructions about how to act? Don't wear your hoodie when you go into a convenience store or whatever. 212-433-WNYC. I'm talking to my kids about their white privilege. White parents, do you talk to your kids about their white privilege? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. One conversation we know that a lot of families have been having, and were having well before Trayvon Martin, is the talk, what black parents call the talk. Black mothers and fathers, especially with their sons, discussing how to interact with police or other law enforcement, or in this case, it was pseudo-law enforcement with George Zimmerman. But here's actor LeVar Burton on CNN recently discussing how he had the talk with his son.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. And this is a practice that I engage in every time I am stopped by law enforcement. And I taught this to my son, who is now 33, as part of my duty as a father to ensure that he knows the kind of world in which he's growing up. So when I get stopped by the police, I take my hat off and my sunglasses off. I put them on the passenger side. I roll down my window. I take my hands. I stick them outside the window and on the door of the driver's side because I want that officer to be as relaxed as he can be when he approaches my vehicle. And I do that because I live in America.
Right. Yeah. Actor LeVar Burton on CNN about having the talk with his son. And you parents, what are you telling your kids? And what are they telling you? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'll take your calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to your calls on what you're telling your kids about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case, and for that matter, what they're telling you. And if we have any teenagers in the audience, you can call us too and tell us what you're saying with your friends. 212-433-9692. Walter in Montclair, you're on the air. Walter, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you very much for having me, and great show as always. Very informative. I appreciate the opportunity. Well, I'm African-American. I have two African-American teenagers who eat Skittles and drink Arizona iced tea. And Montclair is a lovely suburb, about a dozen miles outside of Manhattan. And it struck me as I was speaking to my sons yesterday after the verdict became widely known, that two things really hit me. One of which is my sons didn't see this as applying to them. And one of the things that I tried to share with them is, look, guys, Sanford, Florida is not exactly the inner city. This is a comfortable place, too, so it can happen to you, and you need to be vigilant. And then the second thing that struck me is we went to a protest and participated in one in Newark yesterday, and my sons were concerned about their personal safety and are we going to be okay and all that sort of thing. And so I had to have a conversation about, democracy is not a spectator sport. And if you want to live in a world that is better, that will treat you fairly, that is more equitable, more inclusive, and all these other sorts of positive things, then you're going to have to take the reins and be a part of the solution. And I think that is something that really surprised me a little bit. We've had a number of conversations on race throughout their life, but I was a little surprised. yesterday, and I think many parents are.
When you talk about being vigilant, what does that mean?
Well, I think there's a, you know, you used, the term was used before about the talk, I think, Axel LeVar Burton. You know, we, as African-American parents, you have to have the talk. The minute your kids start getting mobile, you have to have the talk. I personally, I've experienced DWB, driving while black, a number of times in comfortable suburbs. And so you have to say, look, guys, sometimes people are going to pick you out. And they are going to subject you to extra scrutiny, and how you react determines or has a large influence over the nature of that interaction. Doesn't mean you can necessarily diffuse a situation totally, but it does mean that if you escalate it, it's likely to reverberate back to you negatively.
Walter, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. Call us again. Vicky and Mawa, you're on the air. Hi, Vicky.
Hey, Brian. I'm calling in because yesterday I heard this scream from my computer room. My daughter was so upset about the verdict, and she's 17, and she has a twin brother who's and the two of them came in and said, "Oh, we can't believe what happened. We can't believe this verdict, and it's so unfair." And so I got out my New York Times. I read the article in the front cover. And we talked about it. You know, I read it out loud to them, and we went through it, and we discussed, you know, how the law in Florida is, you know, they may disagree with it, but if the jury, had to rule, I mean, I tried to explain that juries have to rule what they think, you know, reasonable doubt and all of those issues. So, you know, we went through it step by step, and we discussed how we felt so that, you know, justice wasn't carried out, but that was the law, and that we live in a land of laws, and that perhaps when they go off to college, you know, they can study the law and maybe change the law. So that's how I dealt with it.
And you, as you told my screener, you're white, your family is white.
Yes, I'm a white suburban mother, you know, live in Bergen County, New Jersey, and my kids are very... And it's interesting, in school, they have a lot of messages about equality. Of course, anti-bullying is huge here in New Jersey now. And, you know, they really are very sensitive to, we have quite a diverse, racial mix here, and they're very sensitive
to people.
So
they were close enough to it, even being white kids, that they took it, your daughter at least, took it personally.
Yes, she did. She really did. And she really felt that, she had her personal opinion. And I tried to explain. I said, even though we have our emotional opinions, you have to look at the whole thing. And lawyers have to obviously make their case. And, I'm not a lawyer, so, but I... This isn't the first time. I felt that way in other cases, let's say.
Vicky, thank you for your call. I appreciate it a lot. Gabriel in Long Island City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi, good morning, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very glad you guys are talking a lot about this today because this is a very difficult case, not only for the family of Trayvon Martin, but for the family of but for the system, too, because in my opinion, I think the system failed at this moment. The justice system failed at this moment. Yesterday, I was shaving my beard in my bathroom. The news came out, I had WNYC on. And my daughter came to me and said, "Papa, can you talk to me?" And she's 13 years old. And she said, "They freed a man." He goes, "What are you talking about?" "The man who killed the black boy in Florida." So it was very difficult for me.
So your daughter told you. How old is your daughter, Gabriel?
My daughter is 13 years old.
13, and she was paying attention.
And she was paying attention. And she's 13 years old, and she comes, "Papa, can you talk? Can you talk right now?" I go, "Yes, yes." And she's not even my daughter. She's my stepdaughter. She's 13 years old. I have another daughter. She's just 7 years old.
Did she say that she was afraid for herself out there?
Yeah. And she said, to me, "How can they free that man? He killed you, the boy. You know, he was in school." And she said, "How that can happen, Papa?" I go, "Well, baby, you know, they make a decision. The system failed at this moment in this case. I agree with you. You are upset, and I am upset too. But we will restore the system at one point. even if justice is not being done for this little kid.
Gabriel, thank you. Thank you very much for that story. Melina, is it Melina in Brooklyn? Hi.
Yeah, Namina. Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I am the parent of one of your super, super fan. You know, Aminata that calls?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the parent. I was here when he started for me. What I've read so much about the law, they say the most powerful person in a courtroom is the prosecutor. When I saw what the prosecutor did, I knew Zimmerman was going to walk free. So I called Aminata and I told him, I said, he's going to walk free. So we started looking at why, and I was talking to her. We talk about the law in Florida. And she was going outside when they said he was free. And she came and she banged the door. Mama, he's free. And I said to her, I told you he was going to be free. For me, it breaks my heart as a parent because I've been in this country. I'm from Sierra Leone, and I've been in this country long enough, and I've seen this boy's been killed over and over and over, Brian, over and over and over. And you have Oscar Grant's movies coming out that was killed. You have Amadou Diallo. You have Ousmane Zongo. I mean, all of these boys over and over. And I want to ask parents, reach. I don't do color, rich or poor, black and white, leaders. If it's your children, how do you react? How do we feel? Who do we go to? Before I came here, the first thing I learned about America, it is the greatest country in the world. I will be here and I will be free. Nobody will mock my children, not because they're black. They just see me as a human being. And now this is happening for every parent over there. Through Aminata's eyes, Brian, I see every child. I see every child, every 15, 14-year-old. You know, and it's very, very painful. I told the lady if I talk very much, I will cry.
Yes.
Because it hurts to see this. What is going to happen? Give a couple of months, we'll all forget, and then another teenager will be killed.
Melina,
the boy that was killed in Florida, the case is coming on. It probably will go back free, and nothing will be happen. What is going on, Brian?
Melina, I'm gonna run and get one other voice on here, but I'm so delighted to hear from Aminata's mother, our favorite teenage caller, and now I see where she gets her passion and her way with words. So someday we'll have to have the two of you on together.
Thank you.
Melina, thank you. And Rita in East Orange, you're on WNYC. You're going to get our last 30 seconds. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Brian. As I told you, screener, I was just calling. I live in East Orange, and I have two boys, 7 and 8, and I'm terrified. The verdict just, you know, send this fear through me for, you know.
Is there anything you can say to a 7 and 8-year-old, or do you shield them from it at this age?
We haven't had the talk yet, but my husband, who grew up in Brooklyn, has been profiled his whole life, and even a couple of weeks ago up in Montclair, where I work as a nurse, he was picking me up after work. I worked the 3 to 11 shift, and the Montclair police followed him all the way up Bloomfield Ave into the parking lot of the nursing home where I work, came up behind him, shined the flashlight in his face, and asked him what he's doing there.
Yeah.
So he explained to them, I'm picking up my wife.
And I'm sorry to have to leave it there, but we're out of time. But it sounds like having had the experience, your husband's going
to
be in a good position to have the talk.
Have the talk with
when
them
the time
when you're
comes.
Older.
Yeah, Rita, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Well,
bye.
Folks, with apologies to Dr. King, the arc of history bends toward justice, but it is long. It is long.